Welcome to the Alcohol Tipping Point podcast. I'm your host, Deb Mazner. I'm a registered nurse, health coach, and alcohol-free badass. I have found that there's more than one way to address drinking. If you've ever asked yourself if drinking is taking more than it's giving, or if you've found that you're drinking more than usual, you may have reached your own alcohol tipping point. The Alcohol Tipping Point is a podcast for you to find tips, tools, and thoughts to change your drinking. Whether you're ready to quit forever or a week, this is the place for you. You are not stuck and you can change. Let's get started. Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you. I want to take a sec to invite you to the next Alcoholiday. It's a monthly dry group where I help people practice not drinking. This is for you if you feel like you're struggling, if you feel like you're stuck, if you feel like you're broken, you're never going to get it. I want to just support you and arm you with lots of different tools to battle cravings, work on your thinking about drinking, be more kind and compassionate to yourself as you're doing this. You know, drinking is a habit. And it's probably something you've done for years or decades even. So it takes a while to unwind it. And that's why I'm so passionate about focusing on practicing not drinking, working on progress, not perfection. I love the saying, focus on the direction, not perfection. And I think it's important just to have these types of groups, programs that just give you a safe place that has no shame, no judgment, a safe place where you can just learn new tools and just start unwinding the habit so that it gets easier and easier for you to drink less or not at all. I would love to have you join the next Alcoholiday. It starts the first of every month. As a podcast listener, you always get 20% off by using the code LOVE, L-O-V-E. And it is hosted on a private platform. It is a HIPAA-protected platform. It's really important to me as a nurse just to have privacy and a safe place for you. And what you get is daily emails, lessons, accountability. You get lots and lots of tools to battle cravings. You get a really detailed guidebook journal to help you out during those 30 days, 31 days, whatever the length of the month is. And then you get downloadable audio meditations, just something to go to when you're feeling a craving. We also do weekly group chats, weekly group support calls led by me and another sober coach twice a week. And then there's also a private chat where you can just share with others, support others, and it's just a great place to practice not drinking. The cost is $89, US dollars, that is. So it's less than $3 a day. Plus, use that LOVE code to get your discount. And just a little background on me, I have been a registered nurse for 20 years. I'm a board certified health coach. I'm a SMART Recovery certified facilitator, an addiction certified mental health professional. I'm a mindfulness instructor. And then you all know, I like to call myself an alcohol-free badass. I've been alcohol-free for almost 4.5 years now. So I would love to see you in the next group. You can sign up at alcoholtippingpoint.com/alcoholiday and join there. I also will link it in my show notes. Wherever you are with your drinking journey, just know that I am rooting for you, that you are not broken, and you can change. Thanks so much. Welcome back to the Alcohol Tipping Point podcast. And today on the show, I have a returning guest. I have Molly Desch. You might remember her from episode 75. We called it Finding Freedom from Alcohol. And Molly's on the show this time to talk about this new term we both just learned called damp drinking or damp lifestyle. So let's get into it, Molly. You had actually emailed me like, what do you think of this damp drinking? And it was from TikTok, right?
Yeah. So I don't even remember how I came on this girl's TikTok profile. but I saw that damp lifestyle. Some article was talking about how it's going viral. And I was like, oh, I have got to check this out. So there's this gal on TikTok, Hannah Elson, and she has come up with this term, damp lifestyle. She's like coined it as her own. And it resembles a lot of Sober Curious, but I think it'll be interesting to get your perspective and just kind of have a conversation about the similarities, the differences, who's it for, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing it to my attention. I guess that over on TikTok, there's a big sober community, which I think is really cool. Ironically, this is totally backwards, but my children have banned me from TikTok, especially my 13-year-old is like, I was like, I think maybe I should have like an alcohol tipping point account on TikTok because I think there's a lot of sober accounts there. And she's like, Mom, don't. You cannot be on TikTok. That is so embarrassing. Like, I've never asked you to not do anything for your business. Just please don't do this. That's so embarrassing. You're so, she thinks I'm so cringy enough in Instagram, but the kids are all they're all in TikTok. I'm not aware of all of what's going on there. So that is where you found the damp drinking, damp lifestyle.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
So what is
first
it?
Of all, I think you should definitely do have a TikTok account. It's just my opinion.
Okay. What did you find out? What is damp? What is the damp lifestyle?
So it's definitely similar to Sober Curious. So evaluating your relationship to alcohol but I feel like it's making your life more about alcohol than not so. And by that, I mean, so there's a lot of tips on how to have a damp lifestyle. She talks about implementing new drinking habits. So you will go out and you will go to a bar or a party and, you know, being conscious about what you're drinking before. So a lot of people that drink, they pregame at home, having a drink or two. She suggests having a mocktail. So it feels like you're kind of drinking, but you're not. Highly encouraging individuals to walk into that bar or that social setting sober to build confidence, which I love that. When you walk into like a happy hour with your coworkers, especially if you're not the first one there, it can be a little awkward if you're not drinking. People are asking you why you're not drinking and all that good stuff. She talks about adding in water in between drinks. The way you start the night is the way you end the night. So if you start off with a mocktail before you leave, have a mocktail or a water or a Diet Coke or whatever your preference is. So she's got a lot of really good tips, which I love. I feel like sometimes Sober Curious, it's like, hey, evaluate your relationship to alcohol. But like, what does that really mean? You know, like, how are you supposed to do that? How do you go? I don't feel like there's really a manual per se on how to do that. I myself was never sober curious. I went from balls to the wall drinking to 100% sober overnight. So I would love to pick your brain about what you think is similar between this damp lifestyle and Sober Curious.
Yeah. Well, I like that these are going out there, these terms. Sober Curious, sober-ish, that's another one. Damp lifestyle. They're all kind of variations on drinking less, right?
Yeah.
And I think anytime that someone is changing their drinking and they're drinking less, like that should be applauded. So I'm supportive. It's also sometimes referred to as harm reduction, right? And with harm reduction, it can be controversial, especially in like the drug community, because it's teaching people how to safely use drugs, but in order to reduce their use, you know, the extreme end of harm reduction is zero use, right? And yeah. So I think that things like Damp Drinking, Sober Curious, like, I think that they're okay. I think not for me right now where I'm at in my journey, but for someone who is starting to address their drinking and they're not ready to go from, like you said, balls to the wall to 100% sober, I think it's okay to have that in between where you are being more aware of how much you drink. You said she gives recommendations. Again, it's like moderation management, right? So giving tips, like, which I think we all know, we've all tried to moderate and we kind of know these rules, you know, like, okay, I'm only going to drink after I eat. I'm only going to have one drink. I'm going to have water in between. I'm going to just tons of rules. I'm only going to drink on Fridays. I'm only going to just all of this stuff. So for me personally, like, I got to the point where it just didn't work for me anymore. And I think you felt that way too, obviously. But I also feel like maybe it even brought up some feelings of concern, because you had mentioned in your email, like, do you think this is a dangerous message? Can you speak to like what your concern is?
Yeah. So I'm looking at it from anybody that has chosen to be sober and wanting to slip back into drinking, because it's kind of portraying the message like this is possible to moderate. And I do feel like that's a very dangerous message for anybody that needs to maintain sobriety. I feel like a lot of people are all or nothing. I do know, like my mom, for example, she can have a glass of wine and then be completely done and not drink for like 2 or 3 months later. Those people, I feel like, not really sober curious. They just kind of want to enjoy a glass of wine if they're out to dinner or whatever. Where I do see it a problem is anybody that's in recovery being tempted to go back to it.
Yeah.
Not for anybody that's questioning their relationship. Like, I'm all for that. 100% supportive. Question your relationship, try things, reduce, try to moderate. But I feel like in the end, all roads lead to let's just not do this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. I think I was saying, like, I think it's a gateway to sobriety.
Yeah.
But again, like, you know, when you're looking at the stages of change and how people go from, well, first of all, you're in total ignorance a lot of years with drinking, right? Ignorance is bliss. So those are the years when you first started and you had no problem, quote unquote. You were fine with it. You were fine with your drinking. You were fine with being hungover. Like, that was okay. And then you started to question, like, you know, maybe I'm drinking too much. Like, what's going on here? So then you became more aware. And then you start to sort of experiment with, like, well, what should I do? Should I quit drinking? Should I moderate? Like, what is best for me? And you don't really know until you try. And exactly. So, yeah. And so I felt like trying to moderate and all those attempts of, and even just taking breaks, taking 30-day breaks. I started doing that like in my 20s. Like right after I graduated college, I would take a month off before I did this race every year. And to me, I'm like, I'm fine. I can take 30 days off. And then I'd just go right back to drinking. And I did that for years. And so it took me a long, long time to get to the point where I was like, you know what? Moderation sucks. It's more exhausting for me. You know, I'll say like 99% is a bitch, 100% is bliss.
And so that's how I feel about moderation was a bitch. There's so many rules, so many things you have to do. And but it took me a long time to get there.
Well, I'm curious, what kept you going back to drinking? Like, you did experience that bliss. You did experience that clarity, that freeness that you felt in those 30 days. So what was it that pulled you back in?
Well, I still liked to drink. I would, you know, I was still young. I still like to come home from work and drink. As working as a nurse, ironically, as working as a nurse at the VA on the med-surg unit, and a lot of what I did, a lot of our patient panel was detoxing veterans. And I remember being like hungover and shaking and like going through detoxing these veterans and asking them, you know, on the withdrawal scale, like, are you feeling anxious? Are you having any tremor? Are you, you know? But to me, that actually kept me stuck because I'm like, I'm okay. I'm at work. I'm working as a nurse. I'm taking care of you. This veteran, usually a man, a lot of the times homeless. And so again, it was like the us versus them. And I felt like, I don't have a problem. I can show up for my job. I'm doing okay. So yeah, I kept going back to it because I felt like my only options, my only box was normal drinker or alcoholic. Yeah. And I never fit in between.
Yeah, it's funny though. So they say you're the average of the five people that you spend your most time around. And so you want to be successful. So they tell you spend time with people that are more successful than you, you know, want more, achieve more, growth, all of that good stuff. And so we do that in so many areas of our lives. But when it comes to drinking, we're like, I'm not homeless. I do have a good job. I am able to go to work every day. So we like completely lower these standards for ourselves when it comes to drinking, because we just like refuse to believe that there's any issue going on there, which I find really interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Well, and also I think that also why I like Sober Curious, Damp Drinking, all these movements is because it does create a space for the spectrum, you know, alcohol use disorders on a spectrum from mild to moderate to severe. And so it does create like a space to explore your relationship with alcohol. The one thing I think that was really helpful for me is, you know, in those early years, it was always focused on me, like, do I have a problem? What's my problem? Why can't I be a normal drinker? I must be broken. And I think now with this like modern recovery movement, it's more of an emphasis on alcohol and like the effect of alcohol. Alcohol is a highly addictive substance. It's a poison. It's a carcinogen. It's, you know, it's been marketed to us. We've been lied about it or lied to about it. And it's that to me was like really eye-opening. And it gave me the space to not put all the shame and blame on myself that I was a broken person and put it on alcohol. Like, okay, big alcohol, that's the problem.
Yeah. So I like to compare it to smoking. I'll ask people, well, do you smoke? Well, no, it's bad for you. It's going to kill you. It causes cancer. And I'm like, so does alcohol, but the information is not out there. Big alcohol is just like big tobacco. We're just a few decades behind that movement, I feel.
Yeah, I sure hope so. And I always like to add the caveat that I had to marry those concepts of, yes, alcohol is shit for your health, and it's my responsibility. I need to do something about my drinking. And once I could marry those two concepts, then I could be more successful with staying sober.
Yeah. So back to damp lifestyle, one of the tips that she has, which I really love, is to make your own like DIY bar cart, but a non-alcoholic bar cart. So when you get home from work, you've got, you know, you've got the shaker and you've got the fancy non-alcoholic gin or vodka or whatever, and you've got some fruits. Maybe you've got a little Buddha statue there, and you've got little, like, you can do this, like fun little cutesy things on your bar cart just to encourage you to reach for a mocktail, make it fun, make it pretty, personalized. So I just kind of love that instead of having your glamorized typical alcohol bar.
Yeah, I like that too. What were some of the other tips for the damp lifestyle?
So she vowed to, well, this was for like a month, to not do any shots. So she's like, okay, no more shots for a month. And she said she saw a huge improvement in that and just how she felt by not taking shots. She says, you know, maybe skip the hard alcohol and do some seltzers in between instead. She had some tips about like switching alcohols. I didn't quite understand that. I was always a, what is it? Beer before liquor, never sicker, or something like that. So that was kind of like something you tried to stick to, I guess, like don't end your night in shots if you've been drinking beer all night. Let's see what else. The tip that she gave that I loved the most was showing up to the social event sober and getting confident in that. So, I mean, it is nerve-wracking knowing that everybody else is going to be drinking. Are they going to ask me why I'm not drinking? What am I going to drink when I get there? Is this place I'm going to embarrass me if I go up to the bar and ask for a mocktail? They don't know how to make mocktail. You know, like all these questions and worst case scenarios are playing out in your head. So forcing yourself to show up to these events sober and feeling comfortable in that, I feel, is really important. The more you're able to show up to these kinds of events and situations sober, the more confidence you're going to get. And once you get that confidence, I feel like you can take it to the next level. You know, whether that's I'm not going to drink anymore, or, you know, I'm just not going to drink this week, or whatever that looks like for you. I feel like that's fantastic. But you have to learn to get that confidence, which is really hard if you're, you know, kind of secluding yourself at home, never going out. And then that first time you get invited to a wedding, it's like, oh my God, you know, you're so tense. I don't know how to have fun. I don't know how to have conversations with people. This is so awkward.
Well, you know where I really see this helping people is with our young people. I'm thinking teenagers and college age students who they're still drinking. I think they're actually drinking less, but I think they're drinking more hard liquor. As far as the behavior I'm seeing with my own teenager and with my niece who's in college. So I think that it is helpful to have some of these tools to, there's no safe level of alcohol, right? However, especially if you're like a college girl going out, like, okay, skip that pre-gaming, skip that part, you know, be more aware of what you're drinking, what you're putting in your body, have some options, have some mocktails. Maybe we can make damp drinking or sober curious more cool for young people who just go out and binge drink with all their friends and they think it's normal. And like, I never learned how to drink or the moderation in high school and college, right? I was learning like to do cake stands. So I think that it's appropriate. It's okay on TikTok. At least they're having conversations about it. At least they're bringing awareness to it. At least, you know, I remember having a conversation with my niece about her drinking and just being like, okay, shots are never a good idea. Nothing good comes of shots. I mean, yes, I would like you to just not drink at all. But if you're going to drink, okay, here's some things you can do to be a little bit more safer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that. I like that you bring up, so like the younger generation, they do seem to be a lot more mindful about alcohol. My son, he's 16 and he won't touch it. He wants nothing to do with alcohol. And some of his friends, yeah, I do see, or I have heard him mention that it's the hard liquor. But I think overall that generation is an older too, the mid to late 20s, early 30s. They're more conscientious about what they're putting in their body. They want options to go out and have a good time that don't revolve around alcohol. So I absolutely love that. I love that our younger generations are more mindful. I mean, I was like you in college and high school, like what? Moderation? That was not a term I was familiar with at all.
No, I mean, wow. It was how much can you drink and how quickly?
Yeah.
Well, good. What are other thoughts about damp drinking?
Okay, so this is based on my inexperience with Sober Curiosity, damp lifestyle, whatever you want to call it. It seems exhausting to me to put yourself on that hamster wheel. You are loving the life. I feel clear. My skin is great. I sleep better. I have more energy. And you go like that for several days, maybe several weeks, and then you're right back at it. Like, I feel like that's so exhausting. And for me to just say, I'm just never going to drink. I know some people are like, well, how can you say you'll never drink? That's just the mindset that I'm in. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But just to say I don't drink, period, it just seems so much easier. There's no choice for me. Which I like. It's less exhausting. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to pre-plan going out to a party or to a wedding or holiday celebrations with family. I don't have to think about that. How much am I going to drink? What am I going to drink? It just seems so much easier to just be like, no.
Yeah. And the reason why people go back to drinking, I mean, yes, to all the benefits of not drinking, we wouldn't drink unless we were getting something out of it. And so in that short term, yeah, it does work really well. If you're feeling anxious, if you had a shitty day, or you're celebrating, you know, it does work well in that short term. And so if you still associate more pleasure with drinking than pain, then you're more likely to turn to alcohol again. And so when you're learning to undo this habit, you're learning that drinking is causing you more pain in the long term. And so then you're more likely to associate it with pain, and you'll associate not drinking with pleasure. But it takes some time to like flip your belief system, because it's ingrained in us. It's ingrained through society, and it's ingrained from personal experience too. And so that's why, you know, we practice not drinking. That's why I say, okay, let's practice not drinking, because you've had a lot of time drinking and practicing drinking. We're going to practice not drinking so that your brain can relearn the associations with alcohol and without it. And it can make new associations, but that takes some time and some grace and some, you know, focusing on progress over perfection, really.
Yeah. I don't feel like complete sobriety versus sober curious, I don't feel like there's one better option or the other. I feel like it's totally dependent on the person and how they need to learn new habits, learn about themselves, what they want, how they want to feel. So I don't have a preference, one or the other. It was just, I didn't experience that. So I wasn't really sure on why. So I'm reading, or I read Ruby Warrington's Sober Curious, and she explicitly says it took me years. Like why years? I mean, how many times did you wake up hungover and were like, yeah, I'm going to keep doing this? I don't know. It's just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. It takes as long as it takes. I mean, for some people, it clicks. And for other people, like, it takes longer to unwind the habit. Like, but I also feel like for me, I had to go through that. I had to go through all those day ones. I had to learn that. And my brain really had to learn it. You know, they say like head to heart, so that I really felt it like, no, I'm done with drinking. Yeah. And you say like, how do you say you're not going to drink forever? Right. Or I'm never going to drink again. Annie Grace had said something along those lines. Like, I don't say I'm never going to drink again, or I'm done drinking forever, because how will I know when I've reached my goal? I'll be dead. Yeah. Right.
Right.
But I think that's where language matters so much. And so that's why I think it's helpful to have these other terminologies, damn drinking, sober curious, whatever. I mean, alcohol's done such a good job of marketing. Now sobriety is working on marketing. Right. So they're finding what works for people, and they, whoever they are, it's not big alcohol, but they, you know, the sober curious movement, like, really working on our terminology and what it looks like to change our drinking.
And making it more acceptable. I feel like in some circles, it's a cool thing. And I love
to be sober.
Or sober curious.
Yeah. You know,
it's brave, and it's forward thinking, you know, it's like the next new thing. I mean, I really feel like it is a movement, and it is becoming more common and more acceptable. I don't know if it's just because I talk about it all day and I'm interacting with other sober people, but I mean, I have friends just by association that question their relationship to alcohol just because they know me. You know, I am not a belief pusher. I don't ask people about their drinking. It's just the simple association they have to me, which I love. I mean, I love if I can be a good role model to somebody else and it helps them, you know, kind of question, am I drinking too much? What am I using alcohol for? What am I using it to not feel?
Yeah, I think it's the new wellness revolution. So because we're having more and more studies coming out that no amount of alcohol is safe for you. We're having more mainstream publications, podcasts, the Huberman Lab, which is a huge podcast. He did a podcast about alcohol and your health. And, you know, he's totally non-biased, and he's a neuroscientist from Stanford. And he's like, yeah, alcohol is shit for your health.
It is shit for your health.
That's what I say. But yeah, so we're having more and more of that. We're having more and more participation in Dry January. We're definitely seeing a societal shift. We're starting to turn the ship, like you said, that kind of compared to smoking.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for like bringing this to my attention. I like hearing about new terms and new things out there. I like knowing what the young kids are doing. So I think it's a great conversation. I think if anything, just people being curious about your drinking. And I do always recommend, like, if you are questioning your drinking, take a break, take 30 days and just see how you feel without it. If you need help taking a break, you can do any of my programs in the Alcohol Tipping Point. You can reach out to Molly. She does sober coaching. There's just options for you to see, like, what would your life be like without alcohol? And then how do you want to move forward after your break? Do you want it to be back in your life or not? And you really need to make that decision for yourself. And I think, you know, I've said before, like, if someone goes from 26 drinks a month to 3 drinks a month, that's something that should be celebrated and not shamed down to zero, right? If anytime 100%. You're drinking less, that is fantastic.
Agreed so much. Thank you, Deb.
Well, thanks for having this conversation, Molly. How can people find you?
I'm at asyouarelifecoaching.com, sober under Mober on Instagram.
Perfect. I'll put it in my show notes. So, and thank you for being open about it. I think that for a lot of people that are like 100% not drinking, it's kind of hard to hear about this sober, curious, this damp lifestyle, because it can be triggering. Yeah. Honestly.
I mean, at first, I will admit, at first, you know, I was very much, why not just quit? Why do you keep putting yourself through this over and over again? And so I've been reading all of these books about sober curious and what that means. And I'm really beginning to understand that point of view and appreciate, yes, people are actually taking the time to think about their relationship with alcohol. And just because I didn't do it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with it. I wish I would have. I wish I would have years ago, but it was just the environment that I was in, just completely surrounded by it, normalized by it. Nobody around me was sober curious or sober really. So I applaud anybody who is thinking about it, who is doing the thing, trying Dry January, trying to minimize how many they're drinking when they go out. I mean, it's amazing. I love this new movement, and I hope more people get on the bandwagon.
Me too. Viva la revolution. Good. That's right. Well, thank you again for coming on the show and having the conversation.
You bet. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Alcohol Tipping Point podcast. Please share and review the show so you can help other people too. I want you to know I'm always here for you, so please reach out and talk to me on Instagram at Alcohol Tipping Point, and check out my website, alcoholtippingpoint.com, for free resources and help. No matter where you are on your drinking journey, I want to encourage you to just keep practicing, keep going. I promise you are not alone, and you are worth it. Every day you practice not drinking is a day you can learn from. I hope you can use these tips we talked about for the rest of your week. And until then, talk to you next time.